Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Gentleman joins us who's been with us many times before, and I still love the picture on his ex Twitter account with the black bear sitting on the couch in a dump. From The Athletic, host of The Athletic Football Show, his podcast, it's Robert Mays. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
How you guys doing? Yeah, that was supposed to signify the state of the Chicago Bears franchise in like 2019, and I've just never chosen to change it.
You shouldn't. That's just a priceless picture. The best part is the bear is sitting on his butt like the rest of us would on a couch.
Yeah, in Chicago, we've been digging around in the trash heap for a very long time, so it felt apropos.
But you have a quarterback now. You have a quarterback.
We'll see. Early returns are not great. I mean, it's week one. And they are playing against a defense that I'm actually really interested in. I haven't gone back and watched it, but I'm about to do that today, just seeing what Tennessee did with Darnell Wilson. But I'm willing to write off one bad game at the start of your career against what is, I think, a pretty difficult defense to play against.
Okay. With that said, should the Browns write off a pretty difficult start for Deshaun Watson coming back from injury with all kinds of off-the-field issues going on again against a very good Dallas Cowboy team?
Yeah, I went back and I watched the game this morning, and I was actually a little bit more encouraged than I expected to be.
I feel bad for you.
Listen, this is the job, right? This is the life that we've chosen. I was actually a little bit more encouraged than I expected it to be. I think that was just a game where you had a cascading effect of just everything going wrong. And I was really impressed with the Cowboys' defense and just really impressed not only with the talent that they have, which we know about, right? We know about Micah Parsons. We know about DeMarcus Lawrence. But I just loved the plan. I loved how they manipulated some of the things with the Browns' offense. The Browns right now, not surprisingly, when you consider all of the offseason changes, they looked like an offense that was kind of grasping for answers and how they wanted to play. And when the defense on the other side of the ball is full of a bunch of like demons and goblins and they have a really good plan, that's a difficult way to kind of sort through your offense in week one.
All right. So when you watch the Brown side of this thing, how much of that is not being prepared? How much of that was coaching and not being ready for what Dallas? And the other part for me is I want to look in and go, you know what? Maybe Dallas is one of the best teams, if not, let's just say one of the best teams in the NFL. I'll leave it at that at this point. And then go back and look at it a few weeks from now and go, okay, now I get it. I understand what I really saw there.
It's tough to say just because this is a defense that they've never played before. You know, so the Cowboys were a very specific thing over the last 3 years with Dan Quinn. You know, they were a team that played a ton of man coverage, and you know, it was pretty simple, all things considered, on that side of the ball. And if you look at what they did with Mike Zimmer on Sunday, it was very different. I mean, just the menu was different, the approach was different. And I think one of the things they did extremely well, going back and watching it, this is a little granular, but they did a fantastic job of manipulating protections. So they would have Eric Kendricks or some other linebacker mugged up, and then they would be dropping guys out. And the Browns were just consistently wasting offensive linemen. So you'd only have four pass rushers, but you'd have one guy that was wasted, and you'd have, you know, another guy that was, you'd have three guys blocking one, essentially. And so just the ability to manipulate those protections and those numbers, I think, led to a lot of free runners and led to a lot of pressure. And you have a quarterback who, over the last couple of years, has shown that he struggles with that right now. When things are clean for him and he's able to throw the ball in rhythm, he still looks like a guy who has a lot of talent. But when things get a little murkier and a little dirtier in the pocket, he struggles to navigate that space. And so if you're going to have an offensive plan that's consistently allowing pressure because of how defenses are manipulating you, and you're having a quarterback that isn't necessarily set up to deal with that right now, I think you get the end result that you saw on Sunday.
Robert Mays joining us, host of The Athletic Football Show, senior writer for The Athletic. With all that said, all of the news that popped yesterday about Deshaun and another lawsuit and a different type of lawsuit in essence, from the other things that, that were settled. If you're the Browns and you've seen 2 years of this, 2 years in one game, and you've not seen a lot because he played in only 12 games the last 2 years, what would interest you more? Seeing it through the end of the contract and seeing if you can make it work with Deshaun, or seeing if the new situation gives you an out of that contract and you could move on?
100% the latter. I mean, in the best case scenario, you're trying to get average quarterback play out of him, right? He statistically has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league when he's been on the field for the last 3 years. Average would be a borderline miracle. If you can remove yourself from a situation where the best case scenario is average quarterback play for a guy making $65 million a year, yes, I think that you would remove yourself from that situation.
Do you think that can happen? Just based on what you've heard so far, do you think there might be enough here to trigger that option?
I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I was looking at some of the things that were written about it over the last 24 hours or so, and you know, it seems like there would be a situation where if he didn't disclose this, and if he didn't disclose this at the signing of the contract, and he were to get suspended, there is language that could potentially allow that to happen. Whether the league would even do that is a different question. You know, whether the league would give the Browns that sort of out, I think, is worth examining and thinking about. So I think there are 20 steps between now and then, but yeah, I absolutely think that would be a better outcome for the Browns than having to try to see what you can get out of him over the next couple of years. Because I think in a lot of ways, guys, like what they've tried to do on offense and how they've tried to build this thing, and even bringing in Ken Dorsey and structuring things the way that they have, you look at the numbers, I think he had like 18 dropbacks out of empty on Sunday. It was 7 more than any other quarterback in the league and twice as many as any non-rookie quarterback in football. And what they're doing there is they're just trying to clean things up for him and make things as easy as possible on him. But by doing that and by catering the offense to what he does well, you're just swimming in the deep end of the pool. Like you don't know exactly what you want to be or what you want to do and why. So I think that just trying to remove yourself from this situation, which was, to mix my metaphors, has turned into a little bit of quicksand, that absolutely would be the best case scenario for the Browns.
That said, and something you said stuck with me, Robert, if the NFL would allow that to happen, man, I can't imagine the NFL owners would be anxious for the league to give the Browns an out of this contract that changed the entire pay structure for quarterbacks in the NFL.
I think that's correct. And I think that the league probably isn't happy with how a lot of this has gone. And so I don't know. Again, I have no idea how realistic it is that that would play into the decision-making, but I think that we're probably going to have to consider all the layers of this as we think about how it can play out.
Hey, Robert, how about the TV viewers this weekend? Just kind of as a side piece to what we're talking about. I mean, the numbers were up 12% on the traditional TV networks. Numbers were through the roof. They're saying that 21 million peaked into a game this weekend or at some point, or the numbers high. I mean, way higher than that. I mean, it was one of those weekends where you look at it and we read these stories about how the numbers looked and you're like, wow. Like, I'm trying to figure out what's different about this week than was different than last year, first week of the season. Tom Brady.
I mean, Tom Brady, listen, that's why Fox is paying him what they're paying him. And a little bit of intrigue always helps. But I think a lot of people are going to watch that Cowboys-Browns game if I were the one calling it. I think it's a couple different things.
You do a nice job, though.
Oh, God, I'd be horrible on live television. I can't even describe to you how bad it would be. I think that there's a few different considerations for me, and this is all anecdotal, but the primetime games were really good matchups, and they were really good games. Like, the Packers have such a national fan base. This is just, I was trying to go out and watch the game on Friday with my brother in Chicago. We went to 3 different sports bars and couldn't get a seat. 3. I mean, it was absolutely wild, and I think the Packers are a big part of that, but it was just something where it's like, man, football is back and people are excited. So I think the primetime games being the quality of the matchups that they were, then the other side of this, and I don't know how much this actually matters, but I think you could really peddle some pretty good hope for almost every single franchise in the league coming into Sunday. Even the teams that looked like a disaster, like the Giants and the Panthers, you could spin it as such that if you were a Panthers fan, it was worth tuning in to see what Bryce Young would look like with Dave Canales. And I think that NFL teams in general have gotten really good at just building their teams in the sense of like, oh, this makes sense. I can get behind this. And it doesn't always work, but I think that these days it's just easier to peddle hope to fan bases than I feel like it's ever been for one reason or another.
Who jumped out at you in week one around the league? Anybody stun you with a performance, good or bad?
That's a good question. I mean, the Panthers are unwatchable, which was really tough. I think that when we did this a little bit on our show today, it's so hard to figure out what's real and what's not from week one, just because you don't know what the competition is. Like, I watched what the Bucs did on offense, and I'm like, okay, you know, that was the best, most efficient offense in football on Sunday. There's a chance Washington's defense is like a bottom five unit this year. They're old, they're slow, they're rebuilding. So it's kind of hard to understand the context. The same goes for the Saints. I mean, the Saints' offense looked dynamic, it looked explosive, but there's a chance that the Panthers are truly the worst defense in football. So those two, I think, come with some caveats. Obviously, I think that the Niners looked phenomenal offensively against a good Jets defense. You know, they're going to be reckoned with. I love the way that the Chiefs' offense looked against Baltimore. I think that their goal this offseason and adding all that speed was just to make things a little bit easier on themselves, create a little bit more space. They had such a hard time manufacturing offense last year, and the early returns, step one, that plan definitely worked. I'm trying to think of what else jumped out. The Eagles' offense, I think, was something that I noticed. I mean, this is a team that last year, by the end of the season, the structure of what they were on that side of the ball was just completely not workable. Like they had run out of road for the type of offense they wanted to play. It had left them completely void of answers against modern defenses. And so many of the things that they were doing on Friday, whether it was the motions or just some of the answers they had against blitzes, it was just a light bulb moment where I was like, okay, like this, if they're going to look like this in terms of how they want to play offensively, the talent can lift them, and I feel a lot better about where this team can go. But week one is just one of those things where even the things that look good or look bad, it's best to kind of take a step back, take a breath, and understand that we're probably not going to have real answers for a little while here.
Robert, great to have you with us again. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Robert.
Anytime, guys.
Robert Mays, The Athletic, host of The Athletic Football Show, and you can follow him on X at Robert Mays. It's M-A-Y-S, at Robert Mays, R-O-B-E-R-T-M-A-Y-S. Welcome back to Basket of Phelps. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The gentleman who called the Browns game against the Dallas Cowboys joins us right now. He's Mr. Andrew Siciliano. Hello, Andrew.
Andrew.
Good morning, guys. It's Wednesday, new week, start a new beginnings, fresh cup of coffee. How are you guys?
That's what I said about the game with Dallas. Okay, they didn't look good. It didn't go well. The offense didn't look good. The defense gave up a couple of big drives early. Okay, you lose a game, fine. But you better play well at Jacksonville. I think you can lose and play well and still be okay, Andrew. What do you think?
Let's just say this.
We all know what we want, but
yeah,
you know, they've got to look better.
The Jaguars are a good team, okay? We saw that last year when the Jaguars came to Cleveland, and you know, the Browns needed the great big David Bell fourth down play, and welcome back to the roster, David Bell, this morning as well.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence was banged up. That was Joe Flacco. Look, a lot was different back then, but Jacksonville is still a team that I think plenty of people picked to make the postseason. I don't know if some people thought the Texans would take a step backwards, but regardless, this is a good team with playoff aspirations, and they're in their home opener. I mean, that's all you got to know. Good team, playoff aspirations, home opener, who, if not for the Travis Etienne fumble going in, were really taking it to the Dolphins. And then, of course, Miami turns it right around with the explosive to Tyreek, and he's still faster than you are, and all of a sudden the game turned upside down. But this was a team that was in Miami doing the thing to the Dolphins, and it all fell apart. So this is not a pushover. It's going to be hot. It's one of those humid weeks in Jacksonville all week where it's like 90 during the day, and then there's a thunderstorm at 4 o'clock. I mean, it's typical Florida weather. You got to be ready for the heat. Certainly. I mean, it felt like fall in Cleveland this past week, and you guys know this, you know, early on Saturday, Sunday morning, it's like 48, 49 degrees.
It was
right? Chilly.
It was chilly.
It felt glorious, by the way. I mean, from what I had just had in Oregon the day before, where it was at kickoff at 7 o'clock, you know, 90 and hazy from wildfires. Nice. That weather was glorious. You're going to get hot and humid and sticky in Jacksonville against a team in its home opener that is also trying to bounce back. So yeah, be ready.
Give me a quick fix for this week that can change things. I mean, and another part of it, Andrew, is how good was Dallas last week? How good is Dallas going to be this season? Because I think a lot of times we sit here and we just dwell on the Browns and we forget about the opponent. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, they are really good. That's I'm on that 3 weeks from now that I'm like, okay, now I get it.
the other team's well compensated as well, and they have talented players, and certainly that goes for the Cowboys. Listen, my thing with the Cowboys is always they're going to be good in September, much like the Dolphins. They show me something in January, like the results for the Cowboys and the Dolphins, most notably, I think, among the other 31, are I'm not impressed with what you do in September. I'm only impressed what you do come postseason. But, I mean, there's a reason that Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Zach Martin make all that money. They have a good team. Now, defensively, you knew you're going to get them turned up in Mike Zimmer's first game. I just said turned. Just like
nice
the
job, man.
Were last year in Jim Schwartz's first game against the Bengals. That's what you saw from that team. Clearly, if you go back and watch the game, there's a laundry list of things the Browns need to do better. You can't have your quarterback hit 16 times. Some of them, was it Deshaun holding the ball too long? Sure. Some of it was the O-line? Absolutely. Was it all James Hudson? No. So you got to fix those things. And the pre-snap penalties and the whole, like, that stuff's got to go, period. And I'm not saying anything that they don't know. I'm not trying to hammer anyone. This isn't personal. They know that. Everyone who saw the tape knows that. Now, that said, you know, the game's kind of a blur, and then you go back and watch it. It's going to sound like I'm excuse-making. I'm not. You go back to the first quarter. Deshaun, quick feet, balls out. Quick feet, balls out. Could have, should have had pass interference on the slant to Amari with the rookie Kalen Carson on his back. Amari couldn't hang on to that one. Carson, a rookie, got the call. Cooper, the veteran, did not. It should have been PI. I'm not saying the game changes there. A couple of drops, whether it's Njoku in space or whether it's Judy who got popped by Donovan Wilson. Credit to Donovan Wilson there. Holds on to that. I don't know. Like, it's funny when you go back and you see the Judy touchdown, then they get three and out. It's 27-17. You get the ball back. And even with the oboe penalty on the punt return, they immediately get an illegal contact on the Cowboys. So it's not the same yardage, but you kind of get rid of the illegal the oboe punt return punt return penalty. And you're like, all right, get something going here, and we got a game, and they just couldn't. And that's what was disheartening.
Andrew Siciliano joining us, did his usual fine work calling the game on the Browns Radio Network. Browns against the Cowboys, week two coming up in Jacksonville. Riddle me this one, my friend. I know the Browns had to play some catch-up, but the game didn't really get away from them until early in the third quarter. I was surprised right. that running backs had only 14 carries in the game. And I was surprised we didn't see Deontay Foreman at least carrying
the
football.
We did not see him until late.
Yeah. He didn't have a carry.
Until late. Yeah. I'm surprised as well. And Nathan pointed that out to his credit repeatedly during the broadcast. He certainly did off the air, on the air. I think he did as well. I would like to see a little bit more of him. Honestly, I would love to see Pierre Strong running wide. Get that guy in space. You know, get that
like
guy
him.
tiptoeing in open space on the boundary and see if he could break one. Listen, it's tough to really get a grasp on it all because you know that, and we saw this plenty, the offense is going to go a lot more shotgun, a lot more empty. That's the wrinkle Ken Dorsey brings, whether it's the RPO game or just spreading the field a little bit more. But at the same time, you want to establish the run and you fall in a hole on Sunday. And then who are you at that point? Well, you got to throw the ball. Yet in the third quarter, they did run it almost every first play of every possession. So you need to establish the run, yet you want this offense to spread it out a little bit more and be dynamic. And then you fall in a hole, and then you're kind of stuck at that point. Doug Peterson about 10 minutes ago was just asked, do you expect to see the same kind of offense you saw last year in Cleveland, where they still want to run the ball first? And he paused for a second, and he went, yeah. So, you know, go back to what Wyatt Teller said last week. We're still the fighting Stefanskis. They still have to find themselves offensively.
That was a great line by Wyatt, by the way.
It was good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fighting Stefanskis. That's fabulous.
I know I'm rambling here, guys. But no, you that's, know me no. Well enough, that's what I do.
I don't know. I'm still trying to decipher what I thought of the defense last week. First of all, they were on the field forever in that first half. I mean, it was 2-1 time wise. At one point, it was 3-1 before the Browns got the ball at the end of the first half. So I'm like, grayed out the defense for me just from the naked eye for what you thought, because I don't think the defense was horrible, but there's obviously room to grow.
Yeah, look, let's go back to the first touchdown, the ball down the sideline to CeeDee Lamb. That's a hell of a play by CeeDee Lamb and a hell of a throw by Dak. That's one where you said before you tipped the cap to those two. Denzel was on him, you know, didn't get around in time, and CeeDee made a great catch. The Brandon Cooks touchdown was a miscommunication, and he got by Thornhill, who now you're without Juan Thornhill now moving forward because he got placed on IR this morning. And, that's a busted coverage. Cooks gets the touchdown. Whether it was, whether or not he thought he had Emerson there, I don't know. That's not for me to say. But there were plenty of three and outs in that game. There were plenty of times, even in the third quarter, where that defense gave you a three and out to do something with. Did they get to the quarterback enough? No. They set the tone early with Dalvin Tomlinson running his helmet through Dak's chest. Miles got to Dak and got credit for that sack, which I thought was an incompletion. I thought I got that call totally wrong, but that's just me. Miles will take the sack. But you got to get there more frequently, clearly. And they got tired at the end. And, the Cowboys are able to get some gains on the ground at the end of the game and help eat the clock.
Andrew Siciliano joining us. He's the man who's calling the play-by-play on the Browns Radio Network, and he'll be in Jacksonville coming up on Sunday as the Browns play game number 2. You think we'll see Kadarius Toney in uniform anytime soon? And what do you think of the move, Andrew? Andy and I talked about it earlier. I like bringing him in to take a look. You're more familiar with him as a player than the rest of us. What do you think of the move?
He is a dynamic playmaker who has never been able to find a home. Put it this way, I'm all for a fresh start, and I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I have not talked to Kadarius since the Senior Bowl when he was coming out of Florida. The Giants moved on pretty quickly, obviously. There's some issues with him tweeting at fans and getting defensive and whatever. They moved on pretty quickly. He certainly had some moments in Kansas City where you're like, wow, that's that first round talent. There's a reason that the Giants took him in the first round out of Florida. That guy is a dynamic playmaker. And then there's the Travis Kelce lateral, that got wiped off because Kadarius Toney lined up offsides. Well, there's that guy as well. So depends how you use him as a punt returner. I think he could be special. Yeah. Look, he can be electric. How much you're going to rely on him offensively, I wouldn't bet on too much, at least initially.
Andrew, you have a college game this week?
I do not, no.
Oh, get some sleep. Enjoy the game. Sit back and watch them.
Next 2 weeks.
I know. I'm excited for your next one. Right?
I am as well.
Have we announced this or no? Is this official?
No, I'll let it, guys, you're acting like I'm calling like the Rose Bowl or something.
Doesn't matter. It's close. Hey, no, it could be half of the Rose Bowl some years.
It could be. Yeah. No, it's a CFP. I'll let NBC do it in 2 weeks.
NBC announce it. Okay.
Oh, look, perfect example.
Right.
Last year, I thought I was doing, and you know how schedules change, guys.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing one game, and then you find out 10 days later you're doing another game.
Ah.
Yeah,
I got
so
it.
That can change.
All right, I won't jinx a game.
Tentatively speaking.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are making
rhymes
it
with
like
Marshall.
Like,
is that
it's
fair?
It's not game 7 of the World Series. Yeah.
It's still a big game.
Andrew, you want to let your employers announce it, and Andy's doing everything except saying what you're doing.
Well, he kind of did.
I mean, come on, man.
Us, so.
Well, Well, I will say this. I believe Game 7 of the World Series would be during that Browns three-game homestand. So let's get ready for that game.
See, there you go.
See? All right. So, see, he's got a planner.
Got to like that.
He's good like that. He's
got to like that a lot.
Yes.
What about the guys on defense who are suddenly on the IL? How big of a concern is this? Diabate, Fields, Hurst, Thornhill. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, that's
painful.
You're kind of sort of thin at linebacker to begin with. And, yeah, that is a huge blow. Special teams as well, especially with those two guys at linebacker. Maurice Hurst is such a huge piece rotationally into the middle of that defensive front. That's a tough one. And look, Thornhill, again, you didn't get a full season of Juan Thornhill last year, and it looks like you're not going to get a full season now. Caps can be tricky. I don't know the details. We'll hear from Stefanski coming up in about a half hour. But, yeah, not ideal. When you hear calf, not ideal. And also, guys, let's go back. This team was thin at tight end to begin with, right? So losing to Njoku, considering how much – you talk about the offense not getting on the same page. The one guy that Deshaun Watson was seemingly connecting with repeatedly, and as I've said, I am kind of behind the eight ball here because I was doing the Olympics the entire summer, was David Njoku in training camp. So that's a big blow.
Good job on Sunday. We look forward to your work in game two in Jacksonville. Thanks,
yeah,
buddy.
We need to step it up a little on Factor Fiction, though, man. You got to step. We want you in the family. So
hey, I think you kind of misread your own question.
On the last one?
Yeah.
It's not my question. I'm not writing those questions.
Gibby wrote it?
Yeah.
Gibby wrote it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I tried to make it easier. I tried to put it in human terms. That's where I'm doing on-the-fly editing. It helps if I prep, that would help too. So
then I was wrong for calling you out.
Oh, that's okay.
It's always good to call him out.
I didn't sleep, and nor did I realize you called me out until 2 seconds ago, because that's the nature.
Co-host jab. That's all.
That's fine. You can do that. That's what Factor Fiction's all about. We just rip each other.
I don't know that you got that one right. I'm like, are you sure you got your own question right?
Oh, no, I'm sure I got it wrong. I'm good with that. I live this life. This is who I am. I'm
13 years in.
Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Also, Phelps, sorry for not properly tossing it to halftime. I had to throw in the radio network part of the end. That was on me. That's 5 yards on me.
I did. I thought you did a fabulous job.
Again, Andrew, things that neither one of us thought about.
At the end of the half, I blew the toss.
Oh, man.
Okay, listen, dude. You did a fine job. Don't worry about the minutia.
I mean, Andrew, I'm most disappointed in you for not sliding in a Tribe Called Quest reference in your broadcast.
Oh,
there you go.
That's
the disappointment level
about,
I have.
Yeah.
I don't – you guys were playing the music coming in, as always. I was thinking then what would be a good Tribe Called Quest football
I mean, get Nathan to go with you on Point to Fife all the time tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. That's okay.
If Fife's got enough football references, you could find some.
He does. I got to dig some up. I'll dig some up. We'll try to work some in.
All right. You're the legend.
Thanks, buddy.
For the half percent of our audience that cares. But Tribe Called Quest going into the hall before the Bengals home game the night before.
Will you be there?
Yes, I want to. I haven't gotten that far, but it would be nice. I'll try. Yes.
Very nice.
See you, dude.
Goodbye.
Talk to you later.
Later.
Good night now.
Andrew Siciliano on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That is Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Robert Mays was just with us on Siciliano at 11:20. We're going to hear from Kevin Stefanski, press conference at noon. We're expecting players to talk. Deshaun Watson's on the schedule. If Deshaun speaks, you'll hear it along with Kevin right here on 92.3 The Fan.
Can I tell you the press conference before we even get there? I can give you the insight if you want it.
Okay.
Ask me a question. I'll be Deshaun.
We're not going to play. Oh, you're going to be Deshaun.
I'll be Deshaun. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going Coach Kevigan.
Oh, no, you can be
you're
Coach Kevigan.
I would never do that to you. Can be Kevigan but you. My buddy Dave would not appreciate it if anybody was Kevigan other than you.
Yeah, are you kidding? You're a legend as Kevigan in your own mind.
In your own mind.
Yeah.
All right, so...
in my own room.
That's true.
I'm not going to ask you a question about Deshaun.
Oh, you're not?
You want me to?
I pretend I'm Deshaun. I'll tell you what he should answer, how he will answer.
Hi, Deshaun. You still hurt from getting sacked 6 times?
Yeah. What's your name?
Steve.
Oh, Gib, it's nice to meet you. What do you got?
Steve, favorite name of all Guardians.
Okay,
Vote
Steve.
Vote Quan.
Yes.
Vote Quan.
Are you going to ask me a question as Deshaun or no?
I don't know. It almost feels like this is not going to go well.
And it's not going to go well.
I don't know that I want to be a part of it.
I'm going to tell you what he's going to say.
Okay.
I'm just telling you what he's going to say.
News broke yesterday about a civil lawsuit. Deshaun, do you have a comment on that?
What should he say? You know, I appreciate
No, you didn't say what should he say. You said you will be Deshaun.
Okay. Here's what
Do you have a comment on that?
You know, I'd love to talk about it, but my lawyers and stuff, they're telling me not to talk about it. So I'm happy to talk about the game.
And guess what? That would be good advice, whoever would give that to him.
The only thing he didn't do in that scenario, the way I answered it, was he would say, you know, it's a good question. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I understand why you need to ask that question. Unfortunately, just, you know, my lawyers are telling me we can't talk about that. But I do appreciate the question. I look forward to answering it at some point.
I look forward to answering it.
He should, if it's wrong.
I look
and
forward
it's false.
To lunch. I don't look forward to answering questions.
If it's false and he wants to defend himself, he should say, I look forward to answering that in the future.
Okay.
I should have been on the debate last night. I would have been great.
Just ask you. You'll tell us.
That's right. I'll tell you.
You'll tell us.
You know I'd kill it in the debate.
Robert had a really interesting perspective. I asked him, with the situation with Deshaun Watson right now, you know, you're 2 years into this, plus 2 years in a game now for the Browns. If by chance this led to anything where they could possibly get out of the contract with Deshaun Watson, and we don't know if that's the case or not, if it could possibly lead to that, I asked Robert, do you think the Browns would rather, nope, we want to, you know, see this through and see if this can work for us with Deshaun as our quarterback? Or would they prefer, oh, wait a minute, here's a parachute? Yeah, let's get out of this thing. Here's what Robert had to say.
In the best case scenario, you're trying to get average quarterback play out of him, right? He statistically has been one of the worst quarterbacks in the league when he's been on the field for the last 3 years. Average would be a borderline miracle. If you can remove yourself from a situation where the best case scenario is average quarterback play for a guy making $65 million a year, yes. I think that you would remove yourself from that situation.
What do you think of that?
I think you said that yesterday numerous times.
I did say that yesterday.
I think that has to be an option on the table in Berea. They have to be thinking that. I don't know if they want to act on it. I don't know if they want that really to happen. I think they want to think that Robert's wrong, that he's a mid-range, middle-of-the-road quarterback. They think he can be better than that. They think he can take him to the promised land. At least they better think that right now because that's what they're paying for. And until something changes, they better coach him up and get him to a spot where he's beyond mid-range quarterback. If he's healthy, he should be beyond a mid-range quarterback.
Right now in the offices of the Cleveland Browns and Berea, what do you think they're thinking? I would think they're not thinking, oh, please give us an out. I would think they're just trying to figure out how to make it work.
Whose office am I in? Am I in Kevin's office?
You're in Andrew Berry.
I'm in Andrew
Berry. And Kevin just stopped in to say hi.
Oh, hey, looking good. I like the beard. Looks good. It's well-groomed today.
Is this room completely soundproof? No cameras, no microphones, none of that stuff?
Just the cones of silence,
my friend. Just the cones of silence?
Yes.
It's funny you mentioned his beard. I have a buddy who leaves me voicemails, and he ends every one with Fire Stefanski because he's pretending he's a caller. And I responded the other day, and I said, well, he has a nice beard. And he thought that was the funniest thing ever, and you just mentioned his beard.
I'm surprised. Does his beard have its own account? I'm surprised. Kevin Stefanski's beard should
have
its own
beard.
Account. Yeah. If it doesn't, or it does, congratulations, you thought ahead. Kevin Stefanski's beard. What would Kevin Stefanski's beard say? I have to think about it. Point?
I have no point.
I don't think you do either. I just know that there are questions they're not going to be able to answer. We're going to hear from Kevin coming up here in a little bit, and they just need to figure this thing out and get rolling. But if Mays is right, I mean, think about that. Middle, average at best, that's what they want at this point? If that's the case, then he's right. They've got to be looking for the escape cord on this thing. Escape cord? So it would be the emergency backup.
Hatch, escape hatch.
Escape hatch, yeah.
Emergency cord, parachute cord.
We know where you're going. It all
yeah,
works.
Thank
yeah,
you.
We knew what you wanted there.
The Baskin and Phelps Encyclopedia will be coming out soon. It'll tell you all the things I'm trying to say without saying them in mixed up words. I'm good at that. 13th year edition coming out.
You're the worst.
No, trust me. I know I am.
So what do they do in the meantime? Well, while this is all playing out,
they have to get him ready to play quarterback. He has to be their starting quarterback. And you saw what Kevin did at the end of the game on Sunday. There was no reason to play him when you're down multiple touchdowns at the end of a game and he's coming off of surgery. And medically, you don't really want him out there because there's no chance you're going to win the game. So you probably should have gone to Jameis Winston at the end of the game. But they need to get him as many reps as they can. And they need to get him prepped for the next week. And he needs to be prepped for this week against Jacksonville. He needs to be ready. The coaching staff can't worry about any of the other things going on in his life, and they have to convince him to not have to have any of those demons in his head or thoughts in his head, you know, crawling around between ear to ear that might be distracting him from playing the game and playing the game to the highest level on Sunday so they can walk out there with a win, so they can walk, come back home on Monday, take a deep breath, and then focus on week three. They have to figure it out, and it's on the coaches, and it's on Deshaun.
I think the answer to this is no, by the way. I think the answer is no. There's no way that you think about changing quarterbacks, right?
No, they can't. Okay. Not right now.
I don't know if you do any time this year, to be honest.
Would you have taken him out at the end of the game Sunday?
No. No, I know you would have. I wouldn't. The guy needs reps, man. Guy's got to play. The guy has to play.
I don't know. I think that's why you have a backup quarterback in case you're getting shelled at the end of the game.
Yeah,
you can take him out.
Except the guy needs reps.
Get him in practice. What are we doing in practice?
Can I quote the very, very smart young man, Tyvis Powell? Yeah, in practice, when they're getting ready to hit you, they stop. You got to figure out what's going on in a game.
So better yet, let's give up the seventh sack and then send him back to surgery in a game that they had no chance. It was over. Play your backup at that spot. There's no reason. Why even have a backup quarterback?
I want my quarterback primed and ready to roll.
Yeah, I do too, but
Kevin Stefanski's press conference coming up in a few minutes. Maybe somebody will ask him, should you have benched Deshaun?
They did.
Taking him out late in the game?
They did.
Maybe they'll ask him today.
Maybe.
Maybe. Baskin and Phelps on the Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.